I open it up to John, the last chapter. And I've been going over, the Lord's been going over in my life and my heart some things. And this is the one that I think convinces me more than a lot of the stuff that I've heard and done. Amen. That what goes on here, you got to give your God a lot of credit. I don't know who your God is, and I don't know what box you have him in, but we all have a God. Yep, yep. We have a vision of a God, and it's not the same God. Amen. We limit him to what we know, and he is far more than anything we know. Right. And the thing that I got from John is the fact that if we walked into a library, and there was books down the wall, all the walls, and we started here and we started to read. In our lifetime, we might get halfway around the library. And it says in here that there's more books and letters written than the world contained the pages. So how would we ever read it? But what I noticed is, he said that in verse 25, it says, and there are also many, chapter 21, verse 25, and says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should have been written. You realize how many books that we know of that are not here? Just offhand, you think of a few books that you heard names of and things like that, that they're not in here. Why? Why didn't he give us everything? I don't know about you, but I'm a dummy. I just need to know that he lived, he died, he rose again, and he's coming again. Amen. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
I need to know he's my personal Lord and Savior, however you want to call it. I just say he's my Lord and my Savior. He doesn't have to be personal. I said, but that's the key, is to know Jesus Christ. So if you go back to the end of verse 20, again, it says here in verse 30 of chapter 20, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Again, why? Don't people want to know more about him? Don't we think, do you think if you had 10 more books, you'd know more about Jesus? No. You don't read the one you got.
Amen.
All I know is every time I read it, there's something new.
That's right.
And I don't know any car manual. I don't know any Shakespearean story that you can read that's not possible to do. People memorize Shakespeare. People memorize the Bible. But people who memorize the Bible only memorize it for one reason. They are actors or whatever. We memorize it so we can apply it to our life.
Amen.
But it says in verse 31, but these are written. These are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Amen.
That's what you need to know. You don't need to know the one carbuncle, one thing and whatever in the front of that book. It's nice to read, but you don't need to know that. You need to know who your Savior is. You need to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what you need. The other stuff, okay, should I live a good life? Should I go to church? Should I do what? Okay, should. Don't have to. Get saved. Salvation and then grow. Most people want to walk a walk and do a talk before they've got the master in their heart.
Amen.
And that doesn't work.
Amen.
You can get saved, stumble, fall away, come back and be right. But I think if you never get it and fall away, you're in trouble. Some people live a life and you would say, wow, look at that man. They go to church every Sunday, they tithe, they're wonderful, you know, they witness, they do whatever, and they don't know Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is a relationship that you'll never understand. You have a God that we can't even come close to understanding. It says, I can't think of where it is now. This is what I got. And during this week, school just ended for where my wife teaches. And they're going through some things with schools and stuff because kids and all the laws and rules and regulations. But if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 28, and there's a few other Proverbs in here that I noticed. And everybody says, well, what's the problem today? What's, well, why do we have these situations that we have in the world? And I said, you know what the problem is? The same problem Israel had. We don't want to do what God said.
Right.
That's all it is. You do it God's way or you don't. And you're going to suffer consequences if you don't, unfortunately. And he does not want to do it. He said to Israel, if you do this, this, and this, I can do this, this, and this. And if you don't, okay, so if you're having problems in your life, maybe you're not doing with this, this, and this. See, a lot of problems we cause upon ourselves. We blame the devil. We do something else. But we make bad decisions. But our school, like I said, and I coach. And they yell. They tell me I'm not a good coach because I yell. They haven't heard me yell yet, but they. But anyway, they. I've been asked not to coach. I've been asked to step back, and different things have gone on. And I do it for the kids, so I don't care.
Amen.
If it was my, I would get mad and do some things, but it's for the kids. And I, but if you look at verse 23 of Proverbs chapter 28, now you tell me if this would go over in school today. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue.
Amen.
Yeah. What are these kids told in school? You can do anything you want. You're this, flattery. Oh, nice try. God doesn't say nice try. It's just sad. And I also, since I'm talking about me, I also get to go to a thing called Reformers Unanimous, which is like your seven pillars kind of thing. And in that, we have guys in there that are hooked on drugs that try to get off them. You have people that are going through divorces, changes, things like that, and all kinds of things affect and change your life. And you have to realize that you can have an issue for RU just because you have an anger problem. And most people don't even think about that. You can have a pride issue.
Amen.
Many people have a pride issue.
Amen,
you know, you do something and you think you're somebody. And you have to realize that God gave you the ability to do it.
Amen.
And that's not always easy to do.
Amen.
You know, we like the eye. We really do. It's a shame. But verse 13 is one that I've noticed. And I think if you'll think about this, you'll agree, too, that this verse says a whole lot more than what it reads. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, how far back does that go? I'll be 72 in a couple days. Does that cover the one since I was started, when I was 3, 4, 5? Did I cover up sins? Did I not eat the cookie in the cookie jar, Mom? No, I didn't eat that, you know, with the crumbs on your pan. But, yeah, and I said, but it says, if you cover them, that's not good. And yet we don't want to tell people about them sometimes. And sometimes we brag about them.
Yeah.
Well, I was a drug addict. Well, sorry about that. Glad you're off it.
Amen.
But you don't brag about that.
Amen.
You brag about the guy that took you off it.
Amen.
That's where it's at. But this verse here says, but whoso confesseth his sins, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Okay, so we have a lot of people that will confess their sins. Gladly confess their sinners. Gladly confess. But they don't do the second part.
That's right, amen.
That's why we have a program called RU where they come and and they go week after week and they learn Bible verses and they grow, but they still never forsake the sin.
That's right, brother. Amen.
That is the key.
Amen.
To get away from it, to flee it,
amen.
And we don't. It's a shame, but we don't. And that's what the Lord has just laid on my heart in the last couple of days. And the other thing is I'm going to write a sermon and it's called God Said.
Amen.
God said, thou shalt not steal. I preach in prison. You know how many guys are in there because they stole? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not. And it just goes on with all the things God said that we just kind of blow off.
That's right. Amen.
And there's some real stronger ones than that. I'm just giving you the Ten Commandments. They're basic. There's a lot more in there that you shouldn't do and should do. That's why you study your Bible, because your Bible is the final authority.
Amen.
It's got the truth in it,
Amen.
And it's the one that will change your life.
Amen.
I said, there's tons of books. I said, I like Ecclesiastes. I think it's Ecclesiastes, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. I think that's the one I want. But yeah, 12:12 of Ecclesiastes. I think this one kind of covers it, because if you'll notice, I don't know how many of you are readers, but it says here, and further, by these, my son, be admonished. Be admonished. And making of many books, there is no end. And much study is the weariness of all flesh. See, sometimes the more you know, the less you know about God. The more you know, you make decisions without prayer.
That's right.
The smarter you are, the less you need God.
That's right, brother.
You notice who were the ones that crucified Jesus Christ? Were they the dummies?
No.
No. See, sometimes when you get wisdom, you don't get the knowledge with it. So that's what we truly need. And the last one, I like this one. I don't know if Brother Ryman ever says, but it says, and let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So Solomon's going to give you the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now, we know that's not for us. We should fear God. But we're not commanded to keep his commandments. That's for the Jews. But should we keep the commandments?
Yes, sir.
All scripture is given for godliness and inspiration. So, yes. Now, I'll show you one more. If you go to Revelation, then I'll get out of here, let Alan have a few minutes. In Revelation, I think it's chapter 14. Revelation 14:6. And also, I guess if you go back to Galatians where it says, let me go back there real quick, see if I can find it. Where you guys were there. Galatians. Or is it Ephesians? Oh, yeah, Galatians chapter 8. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, if you go back to Revelation, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. This is 14:6. Having the everlasting gospel. So there's another guy. There are several gospels in your Bible. I hope you know that. They're not all just one. So there's several. But this one here, if you notice in Ecclesiastes, it said, keep the commandments. This one says, with an everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred, tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. No, keep his commandments. So all you Bible scholars know why you don't keep his commandments, right? Do you? Do you know why you don't keep his commandments? What did Jesus Christ do? He came to fulfill the law. We're not under law anymore. We're under grace. So Jesus Christ did that. So the new gospel is fear God. And Jesus Christ is then available. He's around and everything else. And I'm not going to get into all that. That's a whole other lesson for Alan to preach. But what I found out is that anywhere you go, you can trust this book.
Amen.
My dad, I think Alan was here when my dad preached his last sermon in his church.
Yes, sir.
And he stood up here, and he could barely stand back then. And he looked at all the people, and he said, turn to Psalms 116. If you'll all turn to Psalm 116. Some of you might remember this. And my brother and I use this a lot because it's tremendous. And it's just four words. Somebody took it out of my Bible. Wait a minute, I have to find it. Yeah, Psalm 116. I have a little note here. It says, Dad's last sermon. And it says four words, and this is what he read. I love the Lord. How many of you pray and you're into your prayer? Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. And then live like the Dickens all week. Yep. See, Dad said, I love the Lord is easy. Anybody can say that. Anybody. Oh, I love Jesus. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. He said, but unfortunately, it's going to take you a lifetime to prove it. It's an everyday walk. Every day you can get closer to him, or every day you can get away from him. I have a son and a daughter that are away from the Lord. I pray for them constantly. And I keep just asking them and thinking in my heart, how far do you run and how far do you go before you're out of breath? And you turn around and you look and you go, and there he stands. He said, how far are you going to run and how long? And the thing that amazes me is that I know he loves them more than I do. Yeah. I had a heart issue on Thursday and probably should have died, but the Lord kept me alive. I have a defibrillator and something else, but I had a lot of VTech things go on, went in the emergency room. And my wife worries about me. Go figure. And I worry about her because, and I wrote her a note. I said, don't worry about me. I'll be in glory. I said, worry about you. And then I thought about that. And you know what? There's a guy going to take care of her better than I ever could. And he loves her more than I do. So knowing Jesus Christ is not just a blessing in life. I said, I got saved at a very early age. I asked people in prison, how did you survive for 25, 30 years and not know if you died, you'd go to heaven? I don't understand it. And then you go thinking to yourself, and you know what you find out? When you weren't saved, you didn't understand it. Once you got saved, you don't understand why they don't understand it. It's just, once you got it, you got it. Amen. And then the object is to share it. Because there's a guy going to try to stop you. He does not want you to share that with anybody. But he said, it'll take you a lifetime to prove you love the Lord. I know that I wish I could say that I was saved at the age of about 8 and that I lived for the Lord, done everything he wanted me to do, and had a great life. But didn't. I have unfortunately, my third wife. Not unfortunately. Greatest thing that ever happened was the third one. I should have waited. But you know how hindsight goes. But time goes fast. I said, I don't believe I'm 72 years old. And I know most of you guys, you're looking out those eyes. You're not, no, you might be about 10 years old. I don't know how old you feel you are, but you younger people. But as you get older, the thing with the Pennsylvania Dutch is you get too late, too soon old, too late smart. And that's what we do. And then unfortunately, our smartness goes dumb. And instead of trying to share what we know with the way we know it, we try to make them do what we think they should be doing.
Right.
And a lot of times you drive people away when you force it. You can't force somebody to love Jesus Christ. You can only show them how you do.
That's right.
When you're in church every Sunday, when you're reading your Bible, and you're praying, and you're, let's praise the Lord, let's pray before we drive, let's pray before we eat, let's do this, let something happens, everybody sit down, let's pray, and you do those kind of things, and then your kids see that, that's what they'll become.
Amen.
When they see you squabble and argue and, you know, come into church and, hi, everybody. And that's not you. But anyway, you get the idea. So anyway, thank you for your time. I just want to thank you. Thank Alan. I know that God put him here. And you can see how the church has been blessed. We watch it grow. And I just thank God for Alan Ryman.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't want any praise, but he deserves some. You guys have a good guy.
Amen.
And I taught him everything he knows. So. Let's pray. Let's pray real quick.
Amen.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We're not worthy.
That's right,
Lord. We are not worthy. And when we think what we're doing right now, talking to an almighty God, it amazes me, as David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yes.
Jesus, why me? But I thank you did. Is anybody here, Lord, doesn't know you, Lord? doesn't know what they're missing. Pray you'd let it, make them come to know you today, Lord.
All about.
We think of the ones that have wayward children, wayward friends, Lord. Just be with them today, Lord. Call them back, Lord. We do believe the time is short.
Amen.
We do believe you'll be here soon.
Amen.
And, Lord, it won't break my heart when you come. Lord, I just thank you for these people. Pray you keep them faithful. Pray for Brother Ryman and the church. Just help it to grow and be a lighthouse, Lord, in the area. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all, we thank you for the day you rose from the dead.
Amen.
Beat victory over death, Lord. And now we have life eternal with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.